As we now know, President Trump has announced that the United States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord, weakening efforts to combat global warming and embracing some isolationist voices in his White House, who argued the agreement was a threat to the economy and American sovereignty. There couldn't be a more appropriate time for a book called Horsemen of the Apocalypse, by our guest, Dick Russell and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And one of those joins us now, Dick Russell. Hello, welcome to the show, Dick.
Thanks so much. Glad to be with you today.
Well, basically, the premise of your book is that the science is overwhelming, the planet's heating up at an alarming rate, the results are everywhere, and time is running out, and climate progress is blocked by the men who are profiting from the burning of the planet. Not specifically Donald Trump, although he certainly is implicated. Dick, you, I believe, wrote this book before Trump came to power. Is that right?
I did, and I certainly did not intend for the book to be prophetic, in a sense. But then most of the people that I profiled in the book, we were the big CEOs of the oil and gas and coal companies, among others. Rex Tillerson was the guy I led off with, and he was the CEO of ExxonMobil. Now he's our Secretary of State. Scott Pruitt, who is now running the EPA, he was from Oklahoma, where Harold Hamm, the fellow I profiled, is this fracker extraordinaire there who's made billions off natural gas fracking and covered up exactly what's going on there in Oklahoma with all these earthquakes that have been triggered by the disposal of the wastewater. He was Scott Pruitt's biggest backer when Pruitt was Attorney General of the state of Oklahoma. So, you know, you've got the Koch brothers from Kansas. They now have their minions installed in the government just about everywhere after supposedly not supporting Trump during the presidential election.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, they in particular are very interesting. We'll go into them in a moment. Let's go back into the kind of the premise of the book. I mean, the Book of Revelation, if you're going to go that far, describes the four horsemen as war, conquest, pestilence, and death. So the book isn't that optimistic then.
Well, it's not. What I'm saying is that there is a major warning out there that we have got to do a lot very quickly in order to avert a disaster for human civilization. And somehow these fossil fuel moguls have their heads buried in the sand because all they really are concerned about is their bottom line and their increasing their power. And Trump, of course, has put billionaires in charge of just about every agency, including a lot of these guys. So it's a very, very scary situation. We're seeing the glaciers melting in the Antarctic now. If that happens, if the Thwaites Glacier goes in Antarctica, and then nobody knows exactly when it's going to happen, but it's almost inevitable unless we do something quickly, maybe even can't stop it then, you know, we're going to see sea level rise around the world of, you know, between 10 and 13 feet, inundating coastlines all over the place. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy what's going on in terms of the denial when 95% of the scientists on the planet are saying climate change is very real and an urgent threat.
Yes, we can't blame Donald Trump for all of this because this has been happening for a while now. Let's go back and talk about some of the characters you mentioned in the book there. You mentioned the Koch brothers. Now, I imagine if you picked 100 people, if I picked 100 people and asked them who they were, they'd never have heard of them.
Yeah, until a few years ago, the Koch brothers were completely under the radar before a piece came out in the New Yorker by Jane Mayer exposing their operations. I mean, they're the wealthiest private oil and gas guys in the world. They're worth, David and Charles Koch are worth about $48 billion apiece. And what they've done is funded this array of right-wing think tanks in this country to raise doubt in the minds of the people about the fact that climate change is real. And so, you know, they've got their guy Pompeo now running the CIA. He was their Wichita, Kansas congressman whose main mission in Congress was scuttling renewable energy regulations. And their hands are on just about everything in terms of, you know, the pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline, which has now been revived under Trump. I mean, you name it, goes on and on. These guys are really responsible for a lot of bad stuff.
I should add
one. Yeah. So one more thing about that is, you know, here's the attitude. David Koch was the he was on the board of the Smithsonian Institution, and everybody knows what that is. And They named a hall there in Washington, D.C. after him, the Hall of Human Origins. And in that hall, they said, and apparently this came directly from Koch, that, you know, we're going to adjust to climate change. We'll just build underground cities and we'll develop smaller, more compact bodies. I mean, is that crazy or what?
Their political ascendancy, in effect, was facilitated by somebody that we all know very well, George W. Bush. Would that be fair?
Well, yeah. I mean, they were certainly, Bush was where a lot of this started in terms of the doubt about climate change, in terms of, you know, scuttling various agreements. Bush wouldn't join the Kyoto Protocol. And they've been in power before that, but they really kind of came onto the radar screen when Bush was president and doing things like invading Iraq and you know, all the things we know about.
Yes, and of course, Bush's vice president, Dick Cheney, was the CEO of the oil service company Halliburton, as it turned out.
Exactly. Yeah, so he was the one behind the scenes pushing Bush to, some say that Bush was actually, had started off as president and was in favor of doing more about the climate change and entering international negotiations, but Cheney convinced him otherwise because, you know, he runs this huge oil services company called Halliburton.
And you mentioned there earlier that the Kochs had a kind of disavowal of Donald Trump almost during the presidential campaign. So how did their heads come together in the end?
Well, here's the curious thing. Mike Pence, who was Trump named as his vice president, was a Koch brothers guy. They had funded him hugely in terms of when he was governor of Indiana. So once he came in, I think the Trumps began to use that leverage to see what they could do. And then they ended up installing, you know, a number of Trump's advisors, people who'd been part of the think tanks that they funded when Trump was figuring out who he wanted to run the EPA and the Department of Energy and the Department of Interior. And so the Koch brothers found a way in through Pence and then used it to turn things to their advantage.
Yes, Trump is clearly, in his tweets, a great skeptic. I'm just going to read a couple of the tweets here for people who may not have seen them regarding climate change. The entire country is freezing, quote. We desperately need a heavy dose of global warming and fast. He's called global warming an expensive hoax, a concept created by and for the Chinese to hurt U.S. manufacturing, a total con job and bullshit. He's fairly one-sided on the fence, isn't he?
Yeah, I would say he's fairly delusional. But what we're going to see now that he's pulled the U.S. out of the climate agreement is that China is actually taking over in terms of pushing for renewable energy, and then they're going to be the global leaders. I mean, there's a $6 trillion market out there by 2030 for renewable energy. In solar, these are the encouraging facts. There are 260,000 jobs today compared to 24,000 10 years ago in the United States in the solar industry. I mean, the new jobs that are happening with solar and wind are bigger than oil and gas combined now. And yet Trump is claiming that, you know, we're going to lose 2.7 million jobs by 2025, and then it's going to be, you know, all by 2040, it's going to be 6.5 million industrial jobs. And that study that he's citing, that was funded by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and one of the Koch brothers' front groups. So it's just completely bogus.
It's very interesting to note that the top 50 coal companies are now either in Chapter 11 bankruptcy or on the brink of that as well.
Yeah, and how they've tried to salvage themselves is by selling this, quote, energy poverty campaign to places like China and India and, you know, a lot of the so-called third world nations where, you know, coal is going to be the savior of bringing you out of energy poverty. Well, it's complete bullshit and hypocrisy and ignores the fact that coal is the primary emitter of greenhouse gases and responsible for a major part of the problem, and which is being seen in the U.S. I mean, coal is basically, you know, done. And the fact is renewable energy is far outpacing coal in terms of how cheap it makes electricity. So, you know, that's what's going on.
Having read the book, you kind of get the impression at the end of it that if these horsemen of the apocalypse, as you're calling them, have a kind of moral compass, they've pointed it straight towards hell. It seems an odd thing that they would try and cash in on effectively mass extinction and the end of civilization. How does that help them?
Well, it certainly doesn't in the long run, but they're not long-range thinkers. They're short-term thinkers, and all they really care about, as they say, is the bottom line for their companies. And these are huge corporations. I mean, they're worth billions and billions of dollars, and they have ExxonMobil, for example. Their own scientists knew back in 1977 that climate change was happening, was going to get worse and worse. But at the same time, the people running ExxonMobil completely ignored these findings, didn't publicize them, and funded all these groups that were climate deniers that would cast doubt on the public. So I think that's a crime against humanity. I mean, there's a big lawsuit going on now where the New York Attorney General is getting the goods on ExxonMobil and other oil companies. And there's another interesting lawsuit. These are the encouraging thing is that the legal system still does work. And we, at least for a while, we hope so. And that there's a lawsuit mounted by lawyers for a group called Our Children's Trust, which is all these young people, you know, who are in high school saying that, you know, my right to a future is jeopardized by what the federal government's lack of inaction and what these corporations are doing. And they're suing. And so far, this case has been allowed to proceed by the federal court in Eugene, Oregon. And there are now these lawsuits have mounted all over the country by young people who justifiably, rightfully say, you know, you are threatening my survival and the survival of my kids.
When we're dealing in people who are that powerful and they have people like Donald Trump in their pocket, who has already done something extraordinary in withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accord, what chance do those kind of lawsuits have of actually changing anything?
Well, we're going to have to see a lot more citizen action. And so far, the awareness is growing, but the doubt has been cast by the media in some cases and certainly by these right-wing groups. So I'm encouraged by the fact that thousands of people are mobilizing not only in the U.S. but all over Europe and around the world, and that Europe is making big strides compared to us. I mean, Germany's getting a lot of its power now, I think 50% from renewable energy sources. So those are encouraging signs, but it doesn't go far enough. I mean, I think we're too late to head off some major changes that we're going to see. Perhaps not in my lifetime. I'm getting up there in years, but certainly my sons. And so, you know, it's a catch. I don't know. I mean, we have to move so quickly toward renewable sources, but they're the local action. I mean, what was encouraging to me in the U.S. was that Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, has this coalition of, you know, many mayors and governors and businesses that are saying they're going to fulfill the obligations to the Paris Agreement, even though the federal government won't. Now, that's a tall order, and it's going to take some time and a lot of citizen mobilization. But, you know, at least you got Jerry Brown, the governor of California in China right now. You know, that's his main mission over there, is working with the Chinese to try to cut global emissions. So, you know, I'm not completely hopeless about it, but I think it's going to happen really quickly.
And Trump said on the Paris Accord that he wanted to, quote, negotiate a better deal for the United States. And I guess what you're saying is he wants to negotiate a better deal for the horsemen.
Yeah, exactly right. And you know, the fact is the rest of the world is wise to him. I mean, he's a deal maker, but they don't want to negotiate a new deal. I mean, 195 countries at the end of 2015 worked their butts off, you know, to come to something that was at least a solid start toward working together globally to do something about this problem. And he's not going to suddenly walk in and negotiate some better deal where we have to cut our greenhouse gas emissions less than other countries. I mean, we're the United States is the biggest greenhouse gas emitter on the planet still. It's one-fifth of all the global emissions come from these big oil and coal and gas giants in the United States. So, you know, it's not going to happen, and it's going to have to, I'm afraid this is going to be a big setback, but I also have some faith that other countries are going to step up to the plate and local action is going to happen more and more, and that at least we're not going to see a complete rollback that Trump and his people would like to.
Just before we finish, I mentioned at the start there that the book is written by yourself and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. What was his involvement in the book?
Bobby is a friend of mine, and he's, of course, a very strong environmentalist, and I've known him for years, and he wrote the introduction to the book, and he's the one who came up with the idea. He had me, when I was out at his house one day, look through the book of Revelations in the Bible and pick selected quotes that might fit well to describe what some of these horsemen like Harold Hamm and Rex Tillerson of ExxonMobil and the Koch brothers and the CEO of Peabody Energy are doing. And so we found those and put them in one day at his house. So, you know, he, as I say, he's very committed to trying to, and has been for years, to trying to give us a more sustainable planet.
Fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for joining us. The book is called Horsemen of the Apocalypse, as we mentioned there, by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and our guest, Dick Russell. Thank you, Dick. Much appreciated, sir.
Thank you. Great to talk with you today.